With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Just look, pressure. It's not a prediction. I'm not calling my shot. I'm telling you what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you bring in another GM, a third GM with Bill O'Brien, and that guy, based on what we've seen from Bill O'Brien and the mess that Bill O'Brien has created here, and as far as from a coaching perspective, not maximizing his offense and all that type of stuff, if that happens, then I don't know where we're headed as a football city. But it's not in the right direction. I'm saying what needs to happen. I'm not saying what's going to happen, yeah. But based on your sarcasm, and I'm glad you got jokes today, John, because I don't think it's very funny.
Oh, it's not.
It's not.
But you're cute.
But based
when you're
on,
cute
based
when you're
on
idealistic.
Your sarcasm, you're telling me that a GM is going to come in here and he's basically just going to be a Bill O'Brien puppet. That's what you're telling me.
Pretty much. And here's why. If puppet is not the right word, let's take it to the real world. I love doing that. Take it to the real world. If you go into a company and you are hired by a guy who's the shot caller, who are you subservient to first? Who are you deferential to first? You are subservient and deferential to that guy. Now, Chris Olsen was here before. So Chris Olsen was elite at his job, but he wasn't brought in by Bill O'Brien. You know, he wasn't going to be, towered over by Bill O'Brien. No matter who comes in, football side, non-football side, whatever it
is so
that Bill O'Brien brings in, they're going, you know, Bill O'Brien is gonna tower over them. That is why there's not gonna be a general manager.
All right, you're telling me that, that's fine.
A true general manager.
Okay. You're telling me that, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you what should happen. I'm not telling you what's going on.
Oh,
happen.
I agree with what should happen.
You're probably dealing in with reality. I'm dealing with what should happen.
Yeah.
That's just where I'm at. Bill O'Brien, 211 days ago, Bill O'Brien met with the media. This was after Brian Gain was fired. This is what he had to say about his power or desire for power and the future of the organization. This was B.O.B. when this flat organization came to fruition.
Again, I think that all of those things in the first question that you asked are yet to be determined, you know, and I don't look at it that way as far as the word power. That's not anything that I even think about. It's really just, you know, trying to do my job as the head coach, my number one job is
really?
To coach. And I can, you know, what I can tell the fans is that we have a group of guys that are working really hard to get better every single day. And, you know, we feel like we've definitely improved and we're excited about the future.
He said right there, that's Bill O'Brien in his own words. This ain't me. This ain't me turning on the mic and screaming. This ain't the OG talking. This ain't Figgy talking. He just said it right there. Play it one more time, Figgy. He said that power, maybe it's changed, but he said, as soon as Brian Gain left, that power was not something that he ever thinks about. One more time, B.O.B., hit me with it.
Again, I think that all of those things in the first question that you asked are yet to be determined, you know, and I don't look at it that way as far as the word power. That's not anything that I even think about. It's really just, you know, trying to do my
That's not anything he thinks about, John.
That's
do
all
you
he
believe
thinks
him?
About. No,
you
that's
believe
all
him?
He thinks about.
Okay.
You feel safe
he
in wants
saying
to be the shot caller,
that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I tend to agree with you, but B.O.B. told us he doesn't care about power. Here is something else B.O.B. had to say, and this is something that really, really sticks out. This is Bill O'Brien after Brian Gain was fired talking about looking in the mirror.
When I look in the mirror, I know that I have to improve. It's probably, you know, like I've always said, I think it starts with me and you know, we have to do a better job. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, communication relative to everybody in the organization. You know, really, it's about the symbol. It's about the Texans. It's about doing what's best for the Texans and making sure that we're all on the same page with that.
Okay. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Bill O'Brien said he needed to look in the mirror. I kind of wonder if he has mirrors in his house. So because of that, the OG John Lopez, myself, Figgy Fig, we're going to help Bill O'Brien look in the mirror. We know the DC had to go.
But does the OC need to go as well? Reaction Monday continues next.
And I don't look at it that way as far as the word power. That's not anything that I even think about. It's really just, you know, trying to do my job as the head coach. My number one job is to coach. And I can, you know, what I can tell the fans is that we have a group of guys that are working really hard to get better every single day. And, you know, we feel like we've definitely improved and we're excited about the future.
You heard the man.
The dude said that he does not care about power. That's in his own words, John Lopez. That's not in my words. He does not want it.
He's a giver.
Which is why
he just wants to be part of the team.
A GM is coming to minimize the power of BOB.
What would make you think that? Like, give me a piece of evidence.
Common sense. What should happen?
No, common sense is...
Common sense as to what should happen.
But that's not a piece of evidence. Give me a piece of evidence that you've seen from Bill O'Brien or this organization that would indicate to you that a general manager is going to come in here and be an actual
general
manager.
You want a piece
manager.
Of evidence from me?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you 25,000 pieces of evidence. I can take this up till 2 o'clock. You can sit down and eat your lunch and sit there. You want a piece of evidence
like
as to
evidence.
Why?
Based on what? You know I like to say that. So you're saying there's going to be a general manager in town and he's going to sit down and he's going to say, Bill, come to my office. And he's
gonna, and
Bill's going to say, you can come over to mine. He goes, no, you come to mine. I'm the boss.
How much
evidence? And he's going to sit down in front of Bill O'Brien, and he's going to say, he's going to point at him and maybe even poke his forefinger in Bill O'Brien's chest, stand up and look down on him and poke his forefinger in Bill O'Brien's chest and say, this is how it's going to be. You're saying that's going to happen.
I'm saying what should happen. I'm saying there's a lot of evidence as to why it should happen. You're just saying it's not going to happen.
It's not.
What you're saying. Okay.
It's not.
So we're saying two different things. I'm saying there's a lot of evidence as to why it should.
Give me some of that evidence.
Well, I mean, there hasn't been a top 10 offense under Bill O'Brien's watch. You traded two firsts and a second, so you're not going to have any draft picks. Mm-hmm. You haven't been able to work with two general managers. I mean, there's a lot of evidence as to why he shouldn't have all this power, right?
Sure. There's also this evidence. You've taken control. He's organizing a coup. And I mean, Bill O'Brien is organizing a coup of the entire organization. He's methodically taken down every authority figure in his way, starting with Rick Smith, gone. Then Brian Gain, gone. Then he's forming, then he got Chris Olsen, who's brilliant at what he does, gone. Everybody who is in Bill O'Brien's way from having absolute authority, he's meticulously, methodically getting rid of. And oh, by the way, if you're not on the team with him, then you're gone. Romeo Crennel was going to retire. I'm not going to say that was an issue. But Pagano is one that's gone. You got to be with Bill O'Brien or you got to be gone, according to him.
Okay. Well, then that's where we're at.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bill O'Brien and it's going to be more and more Bill O'Brien.
It's truly his way or the highway.
Okay. I mean, I got a feeling John McClain might co-sign that tomorrow, but all right. I mean, damn. Okay. So I guess the next GM comes in here, he's connected to Bill O'Brien. What if that doesn't work? What if 2 years into, if a next GM comes in, what does that mean? Is there going to go on to GMs? Like, are they going to go from, you know, some teams get rid of coaches and some teams just get rid of coaches. Are they just going to go GM to GM to GM to GM? Is that what we're going to see?
I think, what did John McClain say? And he'll be joining us about this time tomorrow, but he'll still be here next year and maybe it'll be the year after. Before anything happens, presuming there's some issues. And here's the other thing. You're banking everything you do on Deshaun Watson being healthy and carrying the load and making you look good. Like there's a higher floor on this team just because of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
But that kind of masks all the issues everywhere. I mean, they've got some real issues going on right now, man. I mean, just organizationally. No other team is like this, is put together like this. I guess you could argue the Patriots, but even they have availability with other people, and the owner actually speaks and knows how, you know, he gets things done, and you can reach out to him.
I think the thing that Seth said this morning that I think really kind of puts in perspective the way things are being done right now is when you're doing something different than everyone. I got to give Seth a lot of credit for this quote. I think it was around 7:40, podcast at sportsradio610.com. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing something different from everybody, you're either really brilliant or you're really foolish.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground, you know? So either we're going to look back and say, wow, they really knew what they were doing, or it could be a monumental collapse. And I know some people will say, well, the Cleveland Browns, like at least it's not the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns aren't, well, you know what the Cleveland Browns did this year?
Mm-hmm.
They moved on from a GM and a head coach 1 year in. They didn't tread water, you know, despite the fact the evidence was there. They didn't just tread water and decide to keep rolling with it. They moved on,
mm-hmm.
and they did it very quick. So they're at least being a little bit more proactive. But Bill O'Brien said, and this was a week ago today, that he believed, or maybe he still believes, that the Texans are heading in the right direction. Here is the man that John Lopez says is the most powerful man on Kirby, Bill O'Brien.
I feel like we're in the right, we're moving in the right direction. I think we did a lot of good things this year. Not enough, obviously. Feel good about, where we're headed.
Feels real good about where they're headed. Moving in the right direction. Oh, by the way, we're cleaning house. It doesn't jibe. It doesn't add up. What he tells you and what he does are not, they're not going together. You know, it's hard to believe that everything he says he believes, you know. So, and he's the only one that talks, so there's no counterpoint. There's no other opinion. He's the only one up there. He's the only voice of the organization. He's the voice and the face of the organization outside of Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt.
And now he's looking for a new defensive coordinator. We woke up this morning with the news. We knew Chris Olsen was gone. We knew John Pagano, the outside linebacker coach, was gone yesterday. And now Romeo Crennel is gone at the age of 72. Anthony Weaver, defensive coordinator now for the Houston Texans. I'm actually excited about Anthony Weaver.
I am too.
I think it was time for this to happen. I think Anthony Weaver is going to be very good. I think there's a possibility that Anthony Weaver could be a head coach in the league one day. I think it's good that the Texans are making a change on defense. But my thing is this. All of the assets have been invested on offense. So if you're going to make changes defensively, you got to keep in mind that the defense was somewhat shorthanded this year. J.J. Watt missed half the season. You let Clowney walk. Kareem Jackson, Honey Badger gone. And you were pretty much dealing with stopgap cornerbacks. You signed Bradley Roby to a one-year deal. You got Gary and Conley and Hargraves when their teams didn't want them. So I don't think you could really expect too much from the Texans defense. And offensively, they didn't take the next step despite the fact that the overwhelming majority of their assets were invested on the offensive side of the rock. So I think if we're talking about accountability, if we're talking about a guy making tough decisions that are in the best interest of the team,
mm-hmm.
which is what we always hear, I think that the offensive staff needs to be looked at just as hard as a defensive staff, because John Pagano, the outside linebackers coach, I mean, he coached Whitney Mercilus good enough this year to where they thought it was the right decision to give him an extension and make him one of the 10 highest paid players at his position, right?
Mm-hmm.
All I hear is good things about Jacob Martin. Brennan Scarlett, another outside linebacker, he's tough, smart, dependable. You traded Jadeveon Clowney, got rid of him. So if John Pagano needed to go, and with all that evidence, he still needed to go, what about offensively? What about at wide receiver? Did Kiki QT take that next step? Did you see Kiki QT take the next step? I didn't. Did you see the receivers look unbelievable? Did you feel like the play calling took the next step? Did you feel like your quarterback took the next step? I think if you are going to make these changes on defense, which I support, I'm being fair, I support, then I think you need to look at the offensive staff just as hard as you looked at the defensive staff. I think it's only fair. I think it's only consistent. I think it's the only right thing. And when you don't do that, and again, there's a lot of time before the season starts. Good Lord, we almost got like 8 months until the season starts. But if you are gonna, if you're gonna just make the changes on defense, and you're gonna make the changes with the guys who overlook the cap, and the offensive staff is just gonna remain the same, what is that telling me in regards to the man that a lot of people think is calling the shots, and the accountability or lack thereof when he looks into the mirror?
Well, you talk about offense, defense. I mean, this is what's really, really interesting. If you're saying, okay, we spent the entire offseason trying to bolster our offense. You've gone over all the moves. I won't go over them all again, but they were substantial and they were high priced. You did some high priced moves to bolster the offense. Your offense ranked 14th in the NFL in scoring, I believe, and your defense ranked. Oh, here it is right here. I found it. I'm sorry. Texans offense ranked 14th overall, 19th in scoring. The defense ranked 19th in scoring defense. So to say we need drastic changes defensively after it's basically the same thing or in the same ballpark as your offense after you've given all these assets to the offensive side of the ball, it's just not being sincere. It's just not honest.
Could I interest you in some stats?
Please do.
Romeo Crennel had a top 10 defense in three of his five seasons as a DC. One of those seasons, they were 11th.
Mm-hmm.
During those five seasons, the Texans never had a top 10 offense, with 11th being their best ranking in 2018. So I'm not saying it wasn't time for change. Sometimes you just need change. Sometimes good coaches just need to move on for change. I think we saw that with the Rams with Wade Phillips. A lot of times it just happens that way, mm-hmm. and you need it. But what I'm saying is offensive staff needs to be looked at just as hard, if not harder, than the defensive staff. And this is the other thing about defensive situation for the Texans and Anthony Weaver, mm-hmm. who I think is going to be okay. You're going to have to pay Tunsil and Watson, so you're going to have even more limited assets to fix the defense. By the way, you don't have a first-round pick the next 2 years. You don't have a second in 2021. So it's going to be harder for the defense to get better. So, again, in football, you have to have your strengths mask your flaws. Mm-hmm. In other words, if the Texans' offense is not maximizing what they can be, then that in turn makes the defense, which you have limited resources to invest in.
And have invested.
It makes it even worse than it could potentially be. Now, schematically, Anthony Weaver can do a better job than Romeo and stuff, but if the offense isn't maximizing all the assets they've put into it, the defense is going to be fighting an uphill battle to begin with. And I think that's what needs to change. I'm not sitting here saying B.O.B. needs to be fired. Would I consider it? Sure. I mean, you've seen three teams. The other three teams in the division go to the AFC Championship since he's been there. So I think considered, yes. But the last thing he needs is more power, and the last thing that he needs is to be able to not at least try to improve the offensive staff. That's all I'm saying. Like, you can't – you have
even,
to –
Of course, he's not
going to
fire himself.
Here.
You know, he's not going to fire himself, so you could maybe do something there. But he's also – and that's the problem – he's not going to give up any control of the offense and play calling and such. And we hear it every year. This is like the third year we're going into now. Oh, yeah, he's changed for offense coordinator. He's going to let so-and-so call, you know, plays during the preseason. Was it Sean Ryan, I guess, and then now Tim Kelly. And then it just never takes. Godsey. He's not equipped to do it. I also think that there's a – I don't know if this is a conspiracy or not, Figgy.
Uh-oh.
But – I think there
I
is.
I love
a,
when you throw these out there.
Well, I think you'll buy into this one. I think there's a factor at work here with the Chris Olsen firing that nobody's talking about. We got a conspiracy and a nobody's talking about in the same hot take. You know, well, first of all, Chris Olsen was not a Bill O'Brien guy. You know, as far as he brought him in, made him his guy, whatever. You know, Chris Olsen had to, at some point, ask Bill O'Brien when he gave away the moon for Laremy Tunsil without guaranteeing a contract. You know, he had to walk over to his office and say, what are you doing? I've got no leverage here. I mean, they've got me over a barrel. And you know that didn't sit well with Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien thought about the Tunsil trade as a coach first and then a general manager second, and then didn't even really think about it in terms of at some point, this guy's going to have our, you know, what's in a vice when it comes to negotiations. Chris Olsen could not have liked that trade at all. Yeah, the asset is great, but to not have, or very good, but to not have a deal done, do you wait for him to go ahead and become a pro bowler?
I like Tunsil. I like Tunsil, and I think Tunsil's a good
left tackle. First of all, are you buying into my take there?
I think that makes sense.
Doesn't it make sense?
I think anyone worth their salt would wonder why you're not negotiating contract before.
The guy in charge of negotiations and money is saying, what the hell's going on here?
And
you made a trade without guarantee.
And furthermore, I think financially, from a cap perspective, the best asset you can have is those first-round picks, those second-round picks, because you're paying them relatively low salaries, and you get them for 4 or 5 years, depending on if you pick up that fifth-year option. So not only did you take away any leverage in negotiating the contract, you traded away three of the best assets that you can have. So to me, I get that the Tunsil trade, like in a small window, you did improve the offensive line, but there's a chance that 3 years from now, 4 years from now, we look back at that trade and say, damn, we are where we are right now in large part because we went all in and now we're paying Laremy Tunsil the highest amount of money you can pay an offensive lineman.
He's got you by the cojones.
And you didn't have those draft picks. So, yes, right now, like, yes, you did get Laremy Tunsil, but I'm not certain. As a matter of fact, I'm a little bit skeptical that 3-4 years from now, we're not going to be looking at that trade and saying, well, damn, that one hurt.
And I think the other thing that's becoming apparent is one perhaps a kiss of death in this organization is when you disagree with Bill O'Brien. I mean, go back to see who's been pushed out. You know, obviously Rick Smith and Brian Gain disagreed with Bill O'Brien. That's widely reported. I'm pretty sure Chris Olsen could not have liked that Tunsil trade and probably disagreed with O'Brien. He may well have disagreed with something that I know we're going to talk about. John McClain said it today. You know, there are four guys that need to be signed, in the offseason. The Texans apparently are only going to be looking at three of them. So who's the fourth?
Let's get into that. Who is the guy that the Texans are going to let walk, and are they making the right decision? Plus, I still believe that there is hope, John, shut up, that a new GM could come in here and be the king of Kirby. Am I foolish? 713-572-4610. Thanks for ruining my tease. Reaction Monday continues next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.